Dead Man Sings. Forbes ASAP, November 1998. Time moves in one direction, memory in another. We are that strange species that constructs artifacts intended to counter the natural flow of forgetting. I sometimes think that nothing really is new, that the first pixels were particles of ochre clay, the bison rendered in just the resolution required. The bison still functioned perfectly all these millennia later. And what screen in the world today shall we say that of in a decade? And yet the bison will be there for us on whatever screens we have, carried out of the primal dark on some impulse we each have felt as children, drawing. But carried nonetheless on this thing we have always been creating, this vast unlikely mechanism that carries memory in its interstices, this global communal prosthetic memory that we have been building since before we learned to build. We live in, have lived through, a strange time. I know this because when I was a child, the flow of forgetting was relatively unimpeded. I know this because the dead were less of a constant presence then, because there was once no rewind button, because the soldiers dying in the Somme were black and white and did not run as the living run, because the world's attic was still untidy, because there were old men in the mountain valleys of my Virginia childhood who remembered a time before recorded music. When we turn on the radio in a New York hotel room and hear Elvis singing Heartbreak Hotel, we are seldom struck by the peculiarity of our situation, that a dead man sings. In the context of the longer life of the species, it is something that only just changed a moment ago. It is something new. And I sometimes feel that, yes, everything has changed. This perpetual toggling between nothing being new under the sun and everything having very recently changed absolutely is perhaps the central driving tension of my work. Our now has become at once more unforgivingly brief and unprecedentedly elastic. The half-life of media product grows shorter still, till it threatens to vanish altogether, everything into some weird quantum logic of its own, the Warholian 15 minutes becoming a quark-like blink. Yet once admitted to the culture's consensus pantheon, certain things seem destined to be with us for a very long time indeed. This is a function, in large part, of the rewind button, and we would all of us, to some extent, wish to be in heavy rotation. And as this capacity for recall and recommodification grows more universal, history itself is seen to be even more obviously a construct, subject to revision. If it has been our business as a species to dam the flow of time through the creation and maintenance of mechanisms of external memory, what will we become when all these mechanisms, as they now seem intended ultimately to do, merge? The end point of human culture may well be a single moment of effectively endless duration, an infinite digital now. But then again, perhaps there is nothing new in the end of all our beginnings, and the bison will be there waiting for us. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Forbes, more properly the editors of Forbes ASAP, for inviting me to write basically anything at all, then not messing with it when I did. I have been mining this piece for over a decade now, most consciously for talks, less consciously, but more constantly for fiction. It was entirely a matter of taking dictation from some part of my unconscious that rarely checks in this directly. I wish that happened more frequently, but I'll take what I can get.